You're listening to Ali Clark
and David Bevan
on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Good morning, David. Good morning to your listeners.
Premier, yesterday you described yesterday's politics as grubby. Do you think Dan Cregan is grubby?
I think Dan Cregan's put his own self-interest before that of his electorate. I mean, only last Friday he was a member of the Liberal Party. He was elected and pre-selected as the Liberal candidate. He went to that election as a Liberal. They had other independent candidates that ran. The people of Carvel rejected that. They wanted a Liberal. He's left. He's left the party. He's got a big pay bump. He's got a car. He's got a driver. He's got a huge amount of influence. And it's hard to see how this benefits in any way, shape or form the people of Carvel.
So you say it didn't take him long, you say, to make this all about Dan Cregan?
Look, Dan Cregan is a highly ambitious person. He wasn't satisfied with being on the backbench. His colleagues saw fit to put him forward as our candidate for the Public Works Committee chairmanship, which did have a big pay bump with it, but that was clearly not enough for Dan Cregan. Look, the reality is he's now the Speaker. In extraordinary scenes last night where the Constitution was amended without much thought whatsoever. I mean, people can talk about the ICAC bill going through in record time, but it's actually the subject of a very extensive parliamentary committee inquiry, which was open to the public, took evidence from a huge number of people. What we did last night was see a bill go through the lower house to amend the Constitution with no consultation whatsoever. It was quite extraordinary scenes. And then, of course, around midnight last night, we saw the full consequences of that with the excellent Speaker, Josh Teague, removed by Labor and the crossbenchers working together, and then the installation of Dan Cregan, the member for Carvel.
How can you go to the people saying, I am offering you stable government, when 6 months out from an election you have lost control? We haven't seen scenes like this for 20 years, and this has happened under your watch.
Well, the people of South Australia will make their decision in March next year as to what they want. And I think South Australia is in a significantly better place now than it's been for a very, very long period of time. And yes, there has been some instability in the parliament, but people will make their decision on what government they want and they'll vote accordingly. And I'm going to be putting forward a very strong plan to continue to have South Australia come out of the coronavirus and continue to grow our economy and grow opportunity for the next generation. That's my focus.
Did you ask any of the independents not to support the inquiry into Vicky Chapman?
Of course. I mean, it's a terrible...
Well, you left it a bit late to have a relationship with these people, didn't you?
Well, look, I just make the point that this was a very politically motivated select committee which was established. It was not only established within an hour of the parliament resuming with the assistance of Dan Cregan, but actually made an extraordinary decision only a few minutes later to actually begin the inquiry on the same day. Now, this to me looks extraordinarily politically motivated. I mean, it's unprecedented and it's clearly politically motivated. And it begs a question, how long was this in the planning?
So you were personally, sorry, I interrupted. Do you know what?
I'm focused on making sure that we can get our vaccination rate up and we can open up our economy.
But you were personally lobbying the crossbench not to set up the inquiry into Vicky Chapman.
No, look, I wouldn't say lobbying, but I certainly sent messages to people sort of saying that I was very keen for their support. But people make up their own decisions. And
Well, I think that's
make
lobbying.
Up their own decisions.
Well, I think that's lobbying.
Fair enough then.
Premier Stephen Marshall, did Vicky Chapman receive independent advice on how to deal with a conflict of interest regarding the Smith Bay decision?
I don't have any information on that.
Well, so you didn't ask her, well, how are you dealing with a potential conflict of interest?
Well, the reality is that she has responsibility under that the Act, and she's fully aware of her roles and her responsibilities, and she's discharged her obligations extraordinarily well. She's an outstanding Attorney General.
So you didn't say to her, Vicky, you've got family and friends that go back generations on that island, and you're dealing with an incredibly controversial proposal for that island. Vicky, have you taken any advice on how to deal with a potential conflict of interest? You didn't ask her that.
That's an issue that you can direct to Vicky Chapman now.
Yeah, but you're her boss. Inquiry. Did you ask her, how are you going to deal with a perceived conflict of interest?
No, absolutely not. I have absolutely full confidence in the Attorney General, the Deputy Premier, Vicky Chapman, my colleague, who, by the way, I think must be the longest serving Deputy Premier in the history, Deputy Leader in the history of the Liberal Party in South Australia. She does an outstanding job.
So you have no idea whether she took advice?
As I said, I have full confidence in the Attorney General. She does an excellent job.
Just to be quite clear, you have no idea whether she took advice on how to handle a perceived conflict of interest?
Well, I can't answer it in any other way to say I have full confidence in her. And I didn't ask her that question because I have full confidence in her.
Have you asked Vicky Chapman if she was involved in a recent transfer of land relating to an estate of a dead family member on Kangaroo Island?
I'm not going to get into that grubby question. That's beneath you to ask that question, David Bevan.
That question was raised in the Parliament and it will be the subject of a parliamentary inquiry.
I will not be providing an answer. I think that you have stooped to a new low and I find that question outrageous.
You don't think the Parliament should be looking into that matter?
The Parliament is looking into that matter.
I'm asking you, should the Parliament be looking into that matter?
No, I do not think they should.
Why?
I'm not going to go through it in your program. I just think you've stooped to an absolute new low, David Bevan.
How is that, asking you to respond to a question that's been raised in a parliamentary inquiry, with the support of the new Speaker, by the way, how is that stooping to a new low? That it's out there, Premier. Have you asked her about this?
As I said, there's a parliamentary inquiry and it will conduct its business.
And you haven't asked her about it?
I've already answered that question.
You didn't say, Vicky, they're raising this matter, what can you tell me?
I've already answered this question multiple times, David. I'm not going to be providing you with any other information on it. It's pretty clear my position on this. I think you raise a very sensitive issue for the Deputy Premier, where a family member was involved, and I think you should reflect on the type of questions that you're asking. But my focus today is getting on with delivering for the people of our state, and that means making sure that we can get our vaccination rate up. That's my focus, David.
If you won't answer those questions, will the government cooperate fully with the parliamentary inquiry?
Of course we cooperate with any
Somebody's going to have to answer these questions then.
Yes, so that will happen, yes.
But not today?
Well, it's up to the committee now as to when it sits.